This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, online at thelibertybeat.com. I'm Brian Hagan with your Liberty Beat for Friday, October 24th, 2014. Gold is trading around $1,235. Silver, around $17.19. And Bitcoin is trading around $352.44. Today's precious metal price is brought to you by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage Incorporated, specializing in precious metals since 1977. Now accepting Bitcoin online, rrbi.co, or by phone, 800-874-9760. Today's edition of the Liberty Beat, brought to you by Texans for Accountable Governments, Operation GOTV, a campaign to help you find your city council district, find out where to vote, and inform you about local accountability candidates. To participate, visit tagtexas.org/GOTV. Political advertisement paid for by Texans for Accountable Government. And now, a Liberty Beat special report, a trial in Austin. I was grateful Antonio was there to take pictures of what was happening because I feared for my safety. That testimony was shared Thursday by Norma Pizzana during the first day of proceedings in the trial of Antonio Beeler, an Austin, Texas activist accused of refusing to obey a police officer after he stepped in to record and ultimately defend a woman when she was apparently being treated aggressively by police. Pizzana is the female passenger who was ripped from her friend's car shortly before Beeler was arrested for resisting arrest and for allegedly spitting in the face of Officer Patrick Oborski. While those charges were ultimately no-billed by a Travis County grand jury, they did indict Beeler on a Class C misdemeanor charge of failure to obey the order of an officer. The state is relying on the testimony of Oborski and Officer Robert Snyder, with Oborski testifying that Beeler was verbally aggressive and that he considered him a threat. To show the officers as the aggressors, the defense called Pizzana to the stand. She told the jury that she called out to Beeler to video record the altercation because she was afraid of what the officers would do to her, saying that she had never been treated like that by a male. At the conclusion of the lengthy first day of the trial, Beeler told the Liberty Beat that he's pleased to see the truth coming to light.
I'm really glad that people have been able to come out and tell the truth about what's happened after all these years, and I'm just hoping that the jury, that they're eager to make sure that justice is served.
Today is day two in the trial, and it's set to begin with the defense's questioning of Officer Oborski, followed by testimony from an expert on police policies and procedures. Beeler will also take the stand. The Liberty Beat will be there in the courtroom. And for the continuing coverage, as well as the full report of Thursday's proceedings, go to thelibertybeat.com. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from Marjorie Wildcraft's Grow Your Own Groceries. Homegrown food on every table. That's growyourowngroceries.org. Support also comes from the Kent Phillips for Austin City Council District 3 campaign. Kent Phillips, a principled candidate with a commitment to honest, open, and transparent government. Learn more at votekentphillips.com. Political advertisement paid for by Kent Phillips. This is the Liberty Beat for Friday, October 24th, 2014. Check out the website at the Liberty.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Well, folks, in the second hour today, we've got a very interesting hour lined up for you with a guest who's been on the show a couple of times before, Luke McKee, who's currently a refugee in Vietnam, basically here in Vietnam. I'm actually in Vietnam myself at the moment, and we're in a little hotel room here in Hanoi, and I'm going to be talking to Luke about some of his experiences with some of his legal problems in Australia, but we're doing it from the perspective of trying to understand a broader problem in society with legislation and some of the rather draconian pieces of legislation which have restricted people's freedom of speech to the extent that it really is quite an imposition on basic civil liberties. And Luke has quite a long story and quite a complicated one to tell, as listeners may remember from previous interviews. And what we'll try and do is we'll try and step through it at a slow enough pace for you to understand. And if I feel if I don't understand what's going on, I'm going to interject. So I'd just like to say at this point, welcome Luke McKee to Truth News Radio.
Yes, good to be back with you all. It's been an interesting year and a half since I've last been on. A lot of new things have been uncovered in my long-running saga. I never chose to be the man accused of the rarest crime, most rarely used legislation in Australia, and the first ever legislation that's been targeted against the alleged activities of outlaw motorcycle gangs. This law is very draconian. It makes it a crime to obtain any personal information on a law enforcement officer. And recently, Magistrate Thomas Hogston from Port Macquarie Local Court, in another case of 60C, which we covered earlier, involving an Aboriginal boy, a black Aboriginal teenager being charged with the country's first anti-white supremacist, if we're thinking Hell's Angels, motorcycle gang law. A young 18-year-old boy affected by fetal alcohol syndrome was the fifth person in the history of Australia to be charged with Australia's first bikie gang law. For the American listeners who don't know the significance of outlaw motorcycle gang laws, you all say, see something, say something, because of the terrorists, and you have the Patriot Act. The New South Wales Police website used to have Dobbin a Bikie and outlaw motorcycle gang laws because of bikies, because we didn't get enough of the terrorist action and the government needed a cause to take people's freedom away and trade it for maximum security.
Great. Thanks, Luke. If I can just give you a bit of a guideline there with the mic, just try and keep it a little further away, about like that.
Okay.
So we're going to now go into more depth with the questions about this specific piece of legislation, the 60C legislation. Is this in one particular state in Australia or is it Australia-wide?
The jurisdiction of 60C includes New Zealand, because even though I travel on a New Zealand passport, just like Assange or Frederick Tobin can be arrested in England for a crime not in England under the European Arrest Warrant Scheme, with the backing of warrant scheme between Australia and New Zealand and the interstate agreements, people have regularly been extradited for a crime that doesn't exist in their home state. Answering your question, 60C Crimes Act only exists in one state of one country on earth. And the real reason it was made wasn't because of what Michael Costa, the police minister, said when the legislation was introduced in the New South Wales Police and Other Law Enforcement Officers Bill of 2002, the only bill on the New South Wales Parliament website to have Hansard censored and an extract document put in its place. Listeners can verify that by going to the Parliament homepage, B for Bills, All Bills After 97, click on the C for Crimes Amendment and go to the homepage for the bill and see it yourself, and then try and find another bill that has been censored in the same way.
Can you just give us a summary in your own words of what this bill states?
Any person who could obtain personal information on a law enforcement officer that can blah, 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 could harm the officer, otherwise harm is the exact words from the legislation, can face 5 years jail. It was originally 2 years jail, but 60C Crimes Act is the only legislation amended by the 2006 Gang Laws Bill and also appears in the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime 2009 report, Palermo on the Pacific Rim, Transnational Organised Crime in the Asia-Pacific Region, by Andrea Schollenhart of the University of Queensland, T.C. Byrne School of Law. I've said that detail because people say this 60C isn't a bikie gang law. Well, it's the only legislation amended by the 2006 Gang Laws Bill that was made after the Cronulla riots. And if the Cronulla riots never happened and there was no 2006 Gang Laws Bill, this offence would legally be a non-indictable offence. And that means if the police didn't prepare charges against me within 6 months, this whole thing would have blown over. But there's no statute of limitations, and it's the only offence of 5 years jail or more where you can be prosecuted by a magistrate without a jury of your peers. And the only victims of this said crime can be law enforcement officers. So if the police are pointing the finger at you directly for obtaining their personal information, then you don't have a right to a jury for this law, and only this law alone.
So it sounds like some of the normal protections we expect in common law are not available in relation to this law. It seems like a rather draconian law. Why does this law exist? I mean, there's probably some reason, some good reason, at least they felt, why this law needed to be passed. It's about providing some extra special protection for police. Is that what it's all about?
When this law was introduced, it was challenged at inception by Lee Rhiannon, who's now a federal senator, and she said that this law would be used to provide a running cover for corrupt police, and only corrupt police would use this law. 10 years on since its inception, the first outlaw motorcycle gang law has been used against anyone but bikies. Myself, a mentally handicapped Aboriginal teenager from Port Macquarie. My dad went to the boy's trial. The boy's name was Benjamin Morris, and I was able to identify who he was before trial from a police press release. They said a boy used a social network, an 18-year-old individual used a social networking website and made a comment at this time to the minute on this day and will appear at court, I think it was on the 16th of August. ABC News named the Facebook group the boy used, "All Port Macquarie Police Are Corrupt." And the boy made a one-line statement on Facebook. He said, "F oath, especially Detective Blake Keating," the three-letter word meaning gay, starting with F. And he was charged with the crime of obtaining true personal information on a law enforcement officer based on that statement alone that his mother, Gail Morris, supported him making because he had an altercation with this police officer in a skate park earlier. Now, based on his one sentence that he made, where do you think the true personal information this Aboriginal teenager obtained was?
So he obtained some personal information.
That's the name of the charge.
Was it on Facebook? Is that how he obtained the information?
We don't know how he obtained the information, but he demonstrated he obtained true personal information on a law enforcement officer, the definition of 60C, in this matter that he was charged for. And he was also charged with using the internet with intent to menace, an equally rare federal law. Now, one would assume, and I assumed at the time, it was just like my case, where he was charged with the crime of obtaining true personal information, a secret gay and lesbian liaison officer or gay police officer was gay. But it turned out that Blake Keating was not gay, and he had charged the boy with obtaining true personal information. So the magistrate, Thomas Hoxton, had to spin it so that the police officer doesn't look like he's done the crime of an unlawful arrest. So the magistrate surprised everyone in the trial, including my dad who was there witnessing it, and the audio transcript is due to be deleted this month, so we will be doing everything we can to stop this audio transcript being removed, including complaints to the Judicial Complaints Commission against Magistrate Thomas Hoxton. My father has requested the tape with a Freedom of Information request and was denied. Why this tape is very significant is the magistrate spun it and said, no, you were justly charged with obtained true personal information on a law enforcement officer, Mr. Benjamin Morris, because you said the word especially. And the word especially links to the title of the Facebook group that the New South Wales Police told the ABC that you created without the word allegedly. And so you were justly charged with obtaining true personal information that a law enforcement officer has done a corrupt act. And the matter went on, and the boy said, well, I didn't create the Facebook page, it was already there, so I didn't write the word corrupt. And that's why he beat the conviction for 60C Crimes Act, but was convicted of using the internet with intent to menace for that one line of Facebook. And the sources are police press release, Google cache, the court appearance notice, and, of course, my father going to trial and witnessing it and giving his eyewitness a testimony on Topher's unpopular view. We'll include a link to the other podcast for that. But this actually happened, that this obscure law that's only been used 5 times in Australia's history, the first domestic terrorist outlaw motorcycle gang law, was used for something so trivial. after 10 years, the police can't find any bikies. And the law was introduced because, I quote, the New South Wales Crime Commission has received intelligence reports that outlaw motorcycle gangs are building dossiers on police and their families. 10 years later, the police intelligence, of course, is proven to be flawed.
Okay, thanks. That's a pretty concise summary of the history of that particular legislation and some of the issues with it. So, you know, I think we should now get on and talk about some of the bigger picture of what you're dealing with, Luke, because you have run up against this particular law, but you have run up against this particular law in the context of some ongoing matters, which are separate police matters, and these are somewhat complex and a little hard to unthread. So perhaps if you could step through some of the history of how you came to be on the wrong side of some of this legislation.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the very, very beginning. Once upon a time, I actually worked with police every day and wasn't in a conflict with the special members of the New South Wales Police, who wear a pink triangle logo, a logo that was originally designed by Hitler's Waffen Nazi SS to designate homosexuals who must die in death camps. I myself...
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We will be right back.
Through advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm talking to Luke McKee about his problems with the law, but we're talking about some very complicated situations in Australia with some laws that are hard to understand. Now, Luke, you were broken off there in mid-flow, and you were talking about your association with the police. Let's continue from there.
Oh, yes. I was talking about the New South Wales police's segregated, apartheid, gay police units. There are no special police for people of skin colour or race in practicality. But and if I was to call the police station to ask for a sexy sergeant, I would be arrested for being a public nuisance. But there was an advert until very recently, which I've publicised, on the New South Wales Police homepage under, I think, Community Matters, regarding their special gay police. Now, a lot of people are scratching their head and wondering, do gay police, special gay police really exist? Gay and lesbian liaison officers who must be officers in charge of investigating heterosexuals if there is a homosexual complainant, just as only whites could only investigate blacks in South Africa if a white person pointed the finger, until Nelson Mandela said he was prepared to die to stop the bigotry. But in Australia, if you don't believe these gay police exist, all you need to do is go to Google. Alex Jones used to call this a Google bomb, but this Google bomb has already been done because it's number one on Google. If you type hate crime and terrorism into Google, click on the first link, you'll be taken to secure.nsw.gov.au, and you'll see a page about 9/11, London bombing, and gay and lesbian liaison officers fighting the terrorists. I was accused of the crime of knowing I was a victim of a hate crime. A crime motivated by discrimination, by definition, is a hate crime. And if you know your gay neighbour, later arrested for same-sex domestic violence, sent out not one but two gay and lesbian liaison officers to your house, one of the two officers is in the World newspapers. Her name is Tui Ornsby, and she's in the UK Mirror newspaper, boosted by a lesbian TIFF article for doing lesbian domestic violence almost occasioning in death of her teammate before becoming a police officer in 2002. However, even though it's public knowledge since she's been gay, I've been accused of the crime of obtaining her personal information and knowing her and her colleague, Kate Howe, the officer in charge of the investigation, were gay, and I was discriminated against because if the gay officers did what they promised in the electronically recorded interview of suspect persons, or a police interview tape, they call it an ERISP in police jargon, like they call officer in charge OIC in police jargon, if the alibi was picked up, it would have exonerated the heterosexual you're now speaking to, Harewood, and it would require a gay and lesbian liaison officer to arrest one of her own kind outside the bedroom. And, well, that didn't happen. And after I won in my matter in court, I did a Freedom of Information request before being prosecuted with the crime of obtaining true personal information on a law enforcement officer. So I was a police complainant that was preparing to do a private prosecution against police. The Greens, Lee Rhiannon, said only corrupt police would use this law to provide a running cover for their corrupt acts. Rank and file police have never heard of this law, and this law has only ever been used in one odd case in Port Macquarie that we know of, my case, and against someone in professional standards, using the law against a fellow police officer. We found that out from a paid legal inquiry to justanswer.com, where someone had paid $115 to that website to get legal advice. And the person claimed that they worked for the police and asked a question and then gave the answer. Oh, the solution is using 60C Crimes Act against this officer who subscribed me to some junk mail. So this is Australia's first bikie gang law that gets 5 years jail, used in very odd circumstances, only against police complainants or people who are at odds with professional standards command, then headed up when I started by Catherine Burns. And if the listener today, the New South Wales Police Twitter account, probably says DCOP, Deputy Commissioner Catherine Burns, 20 to 40 times in relation to the Martin Place incident in the cafe, because she's in charge of specialist operations, as she's in charge of the media unit now. And she's trying to be Australia's next police commissioner. She's in the running against someone who is of Egyptian origin, who speaks Arabic, and this plays right into her career plan very well, because last month she became the first police officer that I know of in Australia's history to be subject to a parliamentary probe, a parliamentary committee into Operation Prospect. And my police sources that you will hear in a very short clip later have confirmed that she had no chance of getting the top job until this terrorist incident had occurred.
Can you elaborate on Operation Prospect? Is this a police operation, or is this an investigation into police misconduct?
It's a very there's actually three police operation words that are involved. I'll come back to Operation Prospect in just a second. My complaint is got a lot of things in parallel with Operation Mascot. On the eve of the Sydney Olympics, a search warrant was given to now what is now an Australian High Court judge to sign off on the wiretapping of a barrister, journalists, and Mick Caldas, Catherine Burns' rival for the top job of commissioner that she's going for in a few months. And there was no probable cause in the warrants. And this report, there was an emblems report made. There's task force emblems, which I think was the original bugging scandal. There was Operation Mascot to investigate that. And then the ombudsman got his own legislation amended so he could compel people to answer and have secrecy when investigating the involvement. Catherine Burns worked for SCIA, which was the name for police internal affairs back then in the year 2000, and was involved in, rumour has it that she was involved in preparing the dodgy search warrants, and my whole 60C case is exactly the same. Dodgy search warrants, both cases, mine and this big emblems affair, went to the ombudsman. And now, because the ombudsman, Bruce Barber, who lives in his according to the real estate guide, $3 million mansion, has been unable to make any progress, the former police minister, who was recently done for corruption, Michael Gallagher, he promised his election promised he would make the emblems report be released, and he reneged on his promise. And the Greens aren't the good people here in this too. It was their human rights and social justice agenda against this law. But we all know as you previously called them, the watermelons. the socialists, the Fabian socialists, along with Labor, they very much love the idea that normal police are inferior and only a gay and lesbian liaison officer can do the bidding for a gay. So they dropped their own social justice and human rights agenda in a favour for authoritarian gays with guns who can charge you with the crime of knowing they are gay under 60C Crimes Act. But it wasn't a crime for everyone to know the police minister who took my complaint originally, David Campbell MP, was a closet homosexual. In fact, he had to resign when it became public because he could be blackmailed by those who knew he was gay, according to the ACMA in their report.
Okay, so, gee, that's a very, very twisted and very unusual little story that we're threading through today. I'm talking to Luke McKee about this legislation which prevents people from obtaining personal information about police, which has been specifically used in cases where the police are gay. Anyway, we're just going to break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Mm-hmm. We all like a nice fitting outfit that flatters the figure, but would you strip buck naked in front of total strangers to get that perfect look? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment with the facts on a freaky, futuristic fitting room.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
You know that nakedizing x-ray machine at the airport? The one that strips you nude so TSA agents can scrutinize you in your birthday suit? Talk about an invasion of privacy. Well, soon you could have that same humiliating experience voluntarily at your local mall if a company called Unique Solutions has its way. The company has licensed backscatter x-ray machines for use in clothing store fitting rooms. The idea is to give staff a thorough gander at your contours to help them select the perfect outfit for your size and shape. They've already installed the machines at the nation's largest mall, the King of Prussia Mall outside of Philadelphia. But I'm betting most customers will be camera shy. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold the courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And we're talking about some obscure and rather unpleasant aspects of Australian law and policing today. Now, Luke, I'd like to just at this point try to broaden out our discussion a little bit. We've talked about some very detailed stuff. We talked about the laws. We've talked about some of your specific experiences. But I think what's probably more interesting for the listener is to talk about this phenomenon of how it can be that we have special police that are set up for one particular sexual orientation. I mean, it's quite bizarre. I mean, I certainly had no idea this existed. I mean, I had heard about police marching in the Mardi Gras, and I know that that it's part of our inclusive, diverse society that we acknowledge people's sexual orientation. But to go to the extent of actually having special police for gay people is certainly quite strange. And what kind of worries me, I guess, is where our society is going with all this. Because there have been a lot of problems with some of the legal ramifications of, for example, the surrogacy business, and as we saw with that other story that I covered with you about the two guys, one of them Australian, one of them American, who are now in prison, of course, who were gay. But this wider problem of the surrogacy trade being used by a lot of gay people, but also having this kind of criminal element in it. And there's also kind of a phenomenon of our society having this positive discrimination whereby one particular group of people is given special protections, and it's a minority group within the society, but that group has special protections under the law that the rest of us don't have. I mean, where are we headed with all this? What's it all about? I just don't get it.
Okay, I listened to your question very carefully, and just to tidy off all the last stuff, I'll make it really simple before we move on. 60C, in a nutshell, is whistleblower suppression tactics. It's all it's ever has been used for. The real reason it was introduced was not the outlaw motorcycle gang's first use as a cover story to get legislation passed ever. No, it wasn't. The previous law I actually first learnt about as a security guard, getting training from an ex-police officer, Dave Ord, for sector security. He used to tell us there's a different definition of assault for police because police are a special type of people as well. And 60C and 60B Crimes Act were amended also to include the spouses of gay police, yet a minority of a minority of a minority. But this law was really made because its predecessor, 60 brackets, one of the Crimes Act, crime of intimidating police, was destroyed in the Supreme Court the year before in the case of Mellor v. Lowe, New South Wales Supreme Court, year 2000, listing number 75. They lost their wild card law to jail anyone they like for intimidating police. It all ended when a magistrate pulled out the Macquarie Dictionary and said, "Were you police intimidated? Were you cowering in your boots when you were pointing your gun at a shirtless Aboriginal man in Redfern, angry that his brother was being arrested?" And the magistrate asked the police, "Were you cowards? Were you in fear? Were you fearing for your life that a shirtless Aboriginal man could best five cops with guns?" And the cops said no, and the magistrate said the law is a farce, and it ended. And you know, it comes back into Parliament, and even Fred Niles is voting to make the secret gay police. I mean, in South Africa, the special minority white police couldn't charge a black person with the crime of knowing their skin colour. So this, by worse, this far worse than apartheid ever was. Unfortunately, there isn't enough victims yet for people to get as angry as they were when Nelson Mandela, but this 60C is part of a much larger thing. With all the new terrorism laws to protect ASIO, and it's got the press very concerned. No one can investigate what the police are doing. They control all the information. We can't listen to the police radios anymore. You have to use Catherine Burns' PEATS, PEAT system, to log into their website, and where the police monitor everything you search as a journalist. They can cordon off whole areas in the CBD, control the narrative. Has anyone seen a picture of this sheik in the Martin Place Cafe with a gun, when it happened right across the road from Channel 7 studios?
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying here is that really it's a pretext. It's basically a way of giving them more power. Now, the particular context in which some of this power is being wielded is maybe not the main agenda. When we look at the issue of, you know, obtaining information about someone's sexual orientation, which is, you know, one of the main substantive cases that's come forward in regard to this law, that's not really what it's all about. Does the same caveat apply when we look at some of these cases of what appear to be discriminatory behaviour on behalf of the gay and lesbian, you know, liaison services and the police. Is this just kind of a soft pedal tyranny that's kind of coming into our society, kind of undercover? You know, it's like the wolf in sheep's clothing, kind of coming in under the cover of, oh, we're doing this to protect minorities.
It's not about that, Harold. It's much more simple. If you complain against corrupt police, the only people who ever use this law is professional standards, internal affairs. You make a complaint to the Police Integrity Commission and they send it off to the police without your consent. That's like saying, thank you for your complaint against the outlaw motorcycle gangs. We're too busy to deal with it now, so we will refer your complaint back to the outlaw motorcycle gangs for internal review. I mean, you give it to the police and then they come after the whistleblower. That's what happened to me. There needs to be some interesting questions asked in Parliament. How many bikies were accused of the country's first outlaw motorcycle gang law? How many police were accused? How many police corruption informants were accused? If this became public, the fact that, because the Americans just don't understand how much outlaw motorcycle gang laws have been misused. Now, because we're running out of time, and I do want to answer your last question too, that when I was in America, I've been only arrested twice in my life. And my other arresting officer of me, and I do ask all the listeners to Google this name, Christopher Kent Bowersox. He charged me when I was in Bakersfield, California, with delaying or resisting my own murder slash arrest when I refused to put my hands down out of the line of sight so I could be possibly shot dead. And I didn't reply with an unlawful request because it would have endangered my life and given him an opportunity to shoot me. And I made a complaint that he was subject of a pitches motion, which is a nuance of Californian law, to find out when other complainants can identify other people who have complained against the same police officer. And last year I Googled him again, and he's a mainstream media confirmed gay pedophile who was promoted to head up BakersfieldGraffiti.com, Bakersfield Police Ghost Graffiti Task Force, chasing after young adolescent males. He pled guilty to gay child pornography and plotting to murder young boys online, only got 2 years jail, cleared out his police pension before laws were changed in California to stop criminal public servants collecting their pension payments and contributions. And he even said in sentencing that he only became depraved in 2006 after he saw children die from a hand grenade. Well, in 2005, he joined Beast Forum, a bestiality website. And now, so he's saying to a judge that gay men having sex with animals is not depravatory, or he lied and committed the crime of perjury to get a less assessed sentence. And the FBI has 3 press releases on their website about the only other police officer to arrest me in my life. This is like lightning striking twice. Really, it is. To only be arrested twice in your life by mainstream media criminal, confirmed criminal gay police. I've got Bowersox's handwriting on my charge sheet, and I've got Tui Ornsby's handwriting on the fact sheet.
We're just going to break. You with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to Luke McKee about the police and matters of corruption. We will be right back for one more segment before the end of the hour. Don't go away. Really interesting chat.
Hello, my name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW.
Back with Truth News Radio, and we're talking today about some problems with police corruption, unjust laws, some very specific law in Australia. And Luke McKee, my guest, who's based in Vietnam, somewhat a refugee from Australia, is explaining some of the problems he has had. Now, Luke, we've got one more segment left for this chat, and I mean, can we kind of pull all these threads together and talk about what's going on in our society? I just, you know, I want to know why these phenomena are occurring. It looks to me like this is just our society gravitating towards various forms of almost arbitrary forms of corruption, but it is a tendency towards disempowerment. I don't know. Minorities are given more power. See, whenever you have a situation of tyranny, quite often minorities are given special attention. Sometimes minorities are persecuted, but at other times, and this has happened historically, you know, minorities can be specially favoured, and this is just another way of implementing social control. But anyway, over to you for any comment and your general take on that.
Okay. Well, look. The documents I mentioned before will be included in the bio for the show, showing that I really was actually arrested by Christopher Kent Bowersox, his own handwriting, and and some other paperwork relating to Australia. So let your listeners know I didn't pick the names of two gay police that ran foul with the law out of a hat, that I really had face-to-face dealings with these criminals, you know, using state-supplied weaponry. But the bigger thing that's going on here is that if it's a crime to be against crime itself, then we go straight down the path to tyranny. If the police control all the information, control the narrative, control exclusion zones, control who's their sycophant fans on their police Facebook page using the New South Wales Police iWatch system, the new neighbourhood watch, to manage all their snitches, to control... who's in and who's out, who knows what's happening. No one, the police cannot police themselves. The ombudsman cannot investigate the police, has not. That's why there's a parliamentary inquiry into the anti-corruption apparatuses in the state and all their overseers covering up for this woman. When the emblems scandal leaked, when her and her rival was going for the top job, all the newspapers said it couldn't even go to an Australian court because she's already corrupted Australian judges in this saga. And yet you give it to the same person, Bruce Barber, who covered up my complaint against her. So my complaint and this emblems one is linked. It's part of a bigger picture. It's the standard operating procedure to cover up police corruption and go after the whistleblowers and persecute them. And guess who else was complaining about police corruption and writing letters to the police and being victimised by the police? This is the very same sheik who's in the Martin Place Cafe, who was writing letters And what did he do? He did something which we find offensive, but in America they call it free speech. I'm not going to defend the guy, but in America you've got the, what's that cultish church we talked about before the interview?
The Mormons?
No, don't get yourself in trouble with everyone, Herod. There is
Oh, you're talking about the OTO?
No. Oh, we've got to talk about the OTO. Look, okay, there's a church in America that loves picketing war veterans after they come back from home. The name will probably jump into your mind. But also we talked about the OTO. In Australia, Vivianne Legge and Mr. Dyson were jailed for religious vilification for being against the teachings of Aleister Crowley, who the Paul Joseph Watson's captioned pro-gay Channel 4 UK did a documentary about called The Wickedest Man in the World. And if you go to 22 minutes in that documentary with 2 million views, you'll see, and this sounds strange, that Aleister Crowley went into the desert with his friend and discovered that gay anal sex, black sex magic can open the gates from hell. And now, that's what they believe. That's quoting from the documentary, 22 minutes long. But if you think that you have the right to be against people who believe and who worship Baphomet, a goat, and the book, I think Aleister Crowley's book, not the Book of the Laws, but the Magic and Theory and Practice, talks about sacrificing young boys, preferably young boys. If you're against this occultist religion, headed in Australia by David Bottrell, who works for the federal government's immigration department, partnership visa policy section, if you're against the satanic religion, you will be prosecuted for religious vilification and jailed for 9 months. And the magistrate in the case ignored the Victorian Charter of Human Rights, the closest thing Australians have to a Bill of Rights, that says you are entitled to go to a jury before your peers. She said, nope, I'm ignoring the charter. Even lawyers picked this up on the charter blog. She said, no, I'm ignoring the law. In absentia, I'm sentencing you to 9 months jail, which they did go to jail, and they were extradited from Coffs Harbour, New South Wales, dragged all the way down to Victoria, and sent to jail with five New South Wales police for criticising the religion of gay anal sex black magic to open the gates of hell. This actually happened in Australia. The case law is online. And if you go to otraustralia.org.au, go to the legal page, they're also bragging about suing an anti-pedophile charity.
Just to clarify, you're claiming that this religion... Law. Well, you're claiming it, though. I'm not making the claim. You're making the claim. You're a guest on this show making the claim. I don't know your claims to be correct.
The video's online. It's UK Mirror.
Yes, but that doesn't that's still your claim. I don't know if that video exists at this point.
Aleister Crowley, wickedest man in the world.
YouTube. I'm aware of the video about Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, that video.
But I'm merely clarifying is it you're making a claim about anal sex and a few other things.
Oh, yeah.
that the people who uphold this religion do deny, and they've denied.
They believe that gay anal sex enhances the power of sex magic. They believe in sex magic. It's part of their thing. They dress.
Well, I should say, I really shouldn't have even said that. I don't actually mean that specific sex act. What I mean is that they deny they've done anything illegal. Put it that way. They claim to be good law-abiding citizens.
Yes.
By the standards of our legal system. Is that correct?
Not only them, but the Public Interest Law Clearinghouse. American listeners are thinking, just think ACLU, okay? ACLU, exactly the same deal. Got pro bono assistance for this so-called religion, which is one of its offshoots include L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology, gave them pro bono legal assistance to jail the two webmasters of the Gayer Guys website who refused to comply with a court order from a different state enforcing legislation that didn't even exist in their own state. And they were taken across state borders, kidnapped, thrown in jail for 9 months. I think Viviane Legge is still around and kicking. I've seen her going to different New Age forums online. But these people were jailed for the crime of standing against this religion, which even... can I call it a religion? This weird-ass cult that, you know, has their Gnostic mass and they dress up in robes like a Stanley Kubrick movie, eyes wide shut. They have all their Facebook page with all their secret churches with unknown locations. I mean, what are they? I mean, they're an elusive occult. Occult means secret. They are a cult.
And yet, once again, here is an example of a minority group that is being protected from on high by legislation and by very proactive involvement of legal representatives, etc. And ostensibly that's a good thing, because we say, well, it's good to protect minorities. But it's similar to things we've discussed on this show about Jewish people and the whole Judaic cult, we might say. And I had Brendan O'Connell on this show talking about that in depth. And again, that's another minority situation where a certain group of people have rights which seem to supersede the rights of the average person, to the extent that if you say anything negative about them, it's vilification.
Yeah, the thing here is Australia is really putting a big X on its forehead to be target for terrorism. If our Alex Greenwich MP is saying Islamic schools must have a gay subculture and Catholic schools must have a gay subculture and that all religious institutions must be removed from the Anti-Discrimination Act, must have their exemptions removed, why gays remain exempt, gays above God under law. When you're doing stuff like that, you're saying, we are infidels. Come and get us. The government is inspiring. I mean, the government is trying to make our country be victims of terrorist attack by allowing us to look like infidels in the eyes of people who may be either more devout Muslim or more strict, or, you know, looking like the infidels when we are jailing people for being against the religion of gay anal sex black magic. It's bizarre. Why are people going to jail for being against this? This is the first case, one of the first cases, someone being jailed for religious vilification, the second case ever under Victorian law, and Lawyers Weekly even did a story about it. So this is really going on. I mean, what kind of country do we have when it's a crime against the state to be against a religion started by a man who even Wikipedia calls a pedophile?
The wickedest man in the world. Indeed. And we could do a whole show on OTO, although I'm a little bit scared that they will come after me. So I, you know, just want to say I'm not casting any aspersions, folks. Okay? I don't know anything. I don't know any of this to be true. But it's been great talking to you, Luke McKee, and we will keep abreast of all your developments.
And also check out Victims of Gay Bullying. Now the gay mafia is going after my father, Jeffrey McKee, too.
Thanks a lot. That's our show for this week. And have a great Christmas, everyone. We'll be back after Christmas. See you then.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.